This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
And it kind of shows you what we can do with that program. It could be a fun thing. And like Rusty Enser said last week, if we lock up Tony Vitello, and I believe that we can and I believe that we will, we can make Tennessee a destination, one of the premier college baseball programs in the entire country. He could have,
it'd be kind of cool,
a Saban-like run here of dominance in this sport. I really believe that.
That'd be really cool.
It would not suck. Yes.
Yeah. Be kind of wild.
All right, next one. Brian Grant's the newest commitment for Tennessee. The three-star, according to Rivals, is out of Fort Walton Beach, Florida. He is 6'8", listed as 6'8", 270.
Where's Fort Walton Beach? Is that
it's on the
Gulf
Panhandle.
Coast or
it's on the
Gulf.
Atlantic?
Yeah, it's
on the
Panhandle.
The Gulf near Tallahassee.
Okay.
It's near Destin and Panama. It's right in the row there on the Panhandle.
It's not too far from Alabama.
You got a guy here with athletic background, also a current basketball player, so you know that he's got a little bit of footwork ability on the court. And I think that's really what Tennessee is targeting here. They want a guy who is going to be athletic, is going to be moldable, I think, first and foremost, but also a guy that they can hopefully throw a couple pounds onto once he gets here to bring him up to SEC shape.
I am absolutely amazed at how the two of you have sold yourselves on this kid.
Dude, I'm selling myself on any player that wants to come to Tennessee right now. Have you seen the program?
What I said last hour was, I'm not saying that this guy's the second coming of Anthony Munoz. I don't know. And I don't know what the right philosophy is in the constant tug of war between athletic offensive linemen and huge offensive linemen. I'm just making the observation that this is the way that Heupel and these guys have chosen to go. Obviously, we all hope it works out. Right?
Yes.
Right? Okay, good. We're all on the same page here. So I don't know. I'm not offering an opinion. I'm just not writing. I'm not into the stargazing. I'm not into, well, this guy sucks. Well, let's tear him down. He'll never play here. He's skinny and all that crap before he's even set foot on campus. To me, that's the bad take. I don't know why I'm looking at Rick. Go ahead.
All right, next one. Tennessee softball has been selected as the number 9 seed in the tournament. They will be host to Eastern Kentucky, Liberty, and James Madison in the first group of regionals for the softball tournament.
I think I saw something. Is it the 12th year in a row that we've hosted a regional?
Probably.
In
Tennessee
softball?
Softball has historically been really good.
Yeah, there's your dynasty that you're talking about right there.
Well.
Kind of.
They've been very good. They have not won the big one. I'm not nitpicking at the weeklies. It's a great program they run out there, but they have never won a national championship.
What did you say? What number did you
12?
Think it was? 16th straight
what?
Year. Yep.
That's
Tennessee
crazy.
Tennessee will host a NCAA tournament regional for the 16th straight year. It's pretty good.
Yep.
It's very
and
good.
Out of the three teams that they will be hosting, James Madison has only lost one game on the year. So that might be a team to look out for.
It's a fun sport, man. I like watching the women's softball this time of year. It moves fast. You got passionate fans. Everything into it, it's kind of a different vibe over there. The fences are a lot shorter. You got home runs and all that stuff. Big old corn-fed gals, man, cranking those home runs out in college softball. So
yep, that'll start on May 21st.
All right.
All right. And number 4, the Preds playoff push starts tonight. They will take on the Carolina Hurricanes at, I believe, 8 Eastern on CNBC.
In Carolina, in Raleigh.
Yeah, in Carolina.
All right. Good luck to the Preds. Hopefully they can get things rolling again here in the postseason. That's always fun, too, and Preds go on a Stanley Cup run. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Citizens National Bank. Now, here's what we're going to be doing. So we're going to be up there on Wednesday for the Smokies game. GP3, Rick and I are going to be there. Bear's going to be holding the fort down here. And we have been asked, you know, I told you the Citizens National Bank does the money booth at the game, right? It's like a phone booth with dollar bills blowing all around.
Bill and Ted style.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We have been asked to represent there. Rick, I've decided that you, since you have experience, you've been in one of these things before, right?
Oh, my God. Are you really going to do this?
Yes. You're getting a chance to run it back. We're sticking you in the booth, Reek.
I get to go in the money machine.
You get to go.
Oh, my God. I've been waiting for this moment.
Wednesday. How long have you been away? You were a little kid when you went, right?
Put $20 on the kid. He's skinny. He's wiry. Sinewy. I think that he's probably capable of stuffing a large amount of cash into his pockets in the money glove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
$400 is what's in there. It's blowing all around.
Okay.
You got 30 seconds to grab as much as you can.
I did this when I was 10 years old.
How old are you now? 24. 24. You should be in your athletic prime. You should be much more coordinated than you were when you were 10.
You might want to try eating some vegetables before Wednesday.
What can we do to practice him and get him in shape?
Well, you got to have some kind of hand-eye coordination thing, right? You got to have solid hands so you can pinch, you know. I think that's the thing. It's like a crab. You got to pinch
out. I think really all you need is five fingers. Opposable thumbs help.
You need to have a strategy, though. Do you know if you can? No. Get beat up like that. I won't be able to go in the money machine. Can you, like, press the money up against the wall and just kind of grab it off?
I don't know what the rules, man.
I don't think you should be allowed to do that. That seems too much.
Well, we'll ask when we get there, okay? But
okay,
as I often tell you guys, all three of you, I often tell you, when you're out in public, you're doing stuff like this, even when you're not, when you're just on this show, when that microphone is open in front of your mouth and you start talking into it, you represent me. You not only represent yourselves, you represent me. You represent Fan Run Radio. You represent the brand. You represent all of us. Here, it's team at Fan Run Radio. So, Rick.
Talking about me and the money machine?
Yes. If you come out of there.
Wow.
What do you think I'm talking about? Yes.
I didn't know.
If you come out of there with like $4.
Yeah, right.
Then that's a failure. What is the over-under, the amount of money that Rick Butler has to be able to collect in the Citizens National Bank money machine Wednesday? In order not to be deemed a failure, in order not to be mercilessly ribbed
and ridiculed.
I would like to change that to how many bills can I grab? If you go money, like what happens if I can't grab one of the big bills? What if I just grab a bunch of ones?
Kid's got a point, Russ.
But I grab 10 $1 bills. That's a pretty good showing.
Listen. We are a cut above.
Oh my gosh.
Here at Fan Run Radio, I expect greatness.
That's truth.
Dang it.
You're in that booth, you see the bills. If you have
you want
good
me to
eyes.
Lock in?
If you have good eyes, you'll be able to identify the bigger bills and go after them quickly.
The kid's like Mr. Magoo. He can't see.
He's got these goofy blue blocker glasses on again.
Yeah.
I mean, his contact lenses make his eyes look big. Rick's blind as a bat. You can get in there with all that air rushing around.
Can we?
I think I can do this.
How about this? We put him in a Speedo. What? Nothing else.
What?
And we cover his entire body with stick'em.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think this might be the play.
Barefooted. So spray stick'em between your toes. You grab bills with your feet.
Yeah.
How am I going to get it off?
Just put Gorilla Glue all over your beard and hair.
How am I
going
to get it off?
We'll get it off. Trust me. We'll get the money off of you.
Yeah.
I will be as hairless as like a naked mole rat if you just rip all that off.
Naked mole rat?
Yeah. You ever seen one of those things,
dude?
They're
a little
freaky.
Disgusting.
They're freaky looking.
It's a little disgusting.
They're freaky.
Analogy you went with?
Yeah.
Your inability to rise to the occasion and have any kind of courage and self-confidence is changing.
What?
It's changing.
This is not helping either.
Evaluation.
No need to get personal. Okay.
Yeah. Let's build him up. Let's pump him up. As I say, he's representing all of us.
I still have one question though.
Power positive thinking. Let's build him up. Not tear
him
down.
Let us down, Rick.
What happens when I grab all the money before the time runs out? Are they prepared for that?
Then I think you just climb out of the booth.
Okay.
I think you
we'll have a robe for you.
You kiss the nearest pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
You walk over to the nearest beer vendor. You grab the biggest cup of beer you can, and you drain it right there.
Steve Austin style.
And then you walk out. You just walk straight to the parking lot, get in your car, and drive home as the rest of the crowd just says, damn.
Will somebody
have...
There
goes a king right there. There goes an alpha. Those guys over at Fan Run Radio, they're playing a different ballgame. That's what you do, Rick.
I'm going to climb up on a chair if somebody could be ready to just keep throwing me some Steve Weisers, and I will just keep cracking them over my head and doing the whole Steve Austin on the ropes thing. I will be very prepared for that. But I will not drive home if that happens.
So I saw everybody...
I'm not taking you.
Saw everybody talking about the Shawn Michaels biography, A&E, last night. Now, I know you're kind of biased, I feel like, Rick. It could have been the worst pile of crap ever produced, and you would say it was awesome.
I mean, he's a big fan of the Heartbreak Kid, aren't you?
Come on. How good was it? Is it something that I need to watch? Would I be entertained?
Yeah, I definitely think you would. You know, okay. Sometimes the worry with the WWE documentaries are is that everything is planned, right? Everybody, they have a very set agenda, right? So it won't dive into some of the stuff that you really care about. With the Shawn Michaels documentary, it was, you know, they hit the lows and they hit the highs. A lot about, you know, some of his drug problems throughout, a lot of testimonials. They had a lot from Marty Jannetty with the barbershop. They had a lot from...
The Rockers.
Yeah. Did you know...
Was Shawn Michaels and the Rockers?
It
him
was.
And Marty Jannetty?
Those were the two.
That's
did you
right.
know
okay.
that their first run in WWF, they got fired the day that they got hired? Because Shawn...
We fired him before we hired him!
There you go.
Shout out Newmarket Muller.
So Shawn like cracked a beer bottle in a bar or something. Crazy story got out. So they got fired. There were just a lot of stories that I didn't know, kind of about his life and about his journey. But again, they didn't miss any of the valleys, I thought. Like, they didn't skip over anything.
They didn't gloss over
they
some
went
of the personal
a lot,
problems.
They went a lot of Montreal Screwjob. They went a lot the barbershop window. And they went a lot of don't him having
that
to
that
step
was his,
away.
His,
the Rockers. They when he...
That was his whole attitude.
He threw Jannetty through the window.
Hurt him?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, okay, I'll show you it later.
All right.
The greatest tag
team typically,
if
you throw
ever.
Somebody through a plate glass window, Russell, it hurts them.
Well, sometimes it's wrestling, and they have those fake glasses and stuff that they can smash.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it was one of those things. All right, let's go to the phones, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. Roberto is next. Good afternoon, Roberto.
Did they have anything about the I'm sorry moment with
sorry?
Yes. Yes, they did. And they had Flair. They had Flair on it saying that he felt like that is the greatest moment in the history of wrestling.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I love you.
Boom. Right to the chops.
I know.
Man, that was a great moment.
Iconic.
Well, guys, speaking of wrestling, you know, everybody loves the baby face, but the real men love the heels, and that's what I'm here to talk about. Let's embrace it. The baseballs are the heels of college baseball, and I love every single second of it.
Ooh,
everyone else
transition.
Can kiss our ass.
I kind of like this. So we just embrace Tony Vitello is the Rock. Before people forget, The Rock is one of the great. Everybody loves The Rock. Before he blew up, he was one of the great heels in the history of wrestling.
Well, I think he kind of not to bring in too much wrestling, but like I think he ushered in the heel as the guy everybody wants to be, like him. And then when Hogan heel turned in the NWO, I think that's what ushered in the Attitude Era. Him and then Stone Cold in there acting a fool, and they were all heels, but they were just in a way they were baby. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you hated them, but your girlfriend wanted to be with them.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's Tony Vitello, right? I mean, Tony Vitello is the handsome heel. I love that he pulled up his mask and was letting his former boss absolutely have it yesterday.
He struck a blow for everyone out there, Roberto. Everyone out there who's ever wanted to tell their boss off, that prick that you used to work for that never treated you with the respect you were entitled to. He went up there and stood toe-to-toe and gave one right back to him for all you guys out there right now who are suffering. Your boss is a jerk. Tony Vitello has your back.
Tony Vitello is Peter. And Van Horn is Lumberg. I mean, that's where we're at, guys.
Oh, He said, I'm not coming in on Saturday, and I'm not coming in on Sunday, and you can take these TPS reports and stick them up your arse.
That's exactly right. Guys, it is. When Evan Russell looked at homeboy from Arkansas and said, we'll be seeing you soon, or what exactly, I can't remember what exactly he said. Man, I love that. Bring it on. We're about to whip your ass. We have tried to be Tennessee fans, Tennessee the program at large, not just baseball, all of the University of Tennessee have been the nice guys for far, far too long. I'm over it. We're the bad guys. Let's have our heel turn. Let's go kick everyone's ass, and let's have fun doing it. Guys, support this team. Danny No Nugs, listen. I know you listen to this show because it's very popular. Daniel, pay Tony Vitello whatever the hell he wants. Take care.
Thank you, Roberto. Roberto with a very strong phone call this afternoon. Very strong.
We're not fired up for Tony Vitello. He wants it.
You like that? We could be the heels?
I can dig it.
Just be the heel.
Yeah. It's what we would have been had fate pointed us in a different direction and, say, Steve Spurrier played here and coached here.
Mm.
Do you know how badly everyone in America would have really hated us then?
Tennessee fans love that. We like to be the heel, don't we? Lane Kiffin, Bruce Pearl, Tony Vitello.
I mean, it goes back to – in some weird way, it is connected to professional wrestling. I mean, Ron Wright.
Who's the greatest heel in wrestling history, Rick? You're the wrestling historian here.
I don't know about that. Let Rick tell you yours. I'll tell you who mine is.
He's thinking. Who's yours? You don't have to
probably,
think about it.
I mean, Ron Wright.
Ric Flair.
Flair. You guys will never guess mine.
I always kind of liked Flair.
Man. I don't know. That's tough.
I rated for the bad guys.
Who is just despised?
The Iron Sheik.
The Sheik was. I feel like that's kind of, though.
Ivan Koloff.
That's taken the easy way to. I'm surprised nobody embraced.
Oh, okay. I got it. Vince McMahon.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I'm going to go good. Vince as the greatest deal. Truly hated.
You guys will never guess mine. It was old school. Very old school.
The Sheik?
No.
Sabu.
No.
Arn Anderson.
No.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Kerry Von Erich.
You'll never get it. You'll never get it.
Mr. Fuji.
I'll let you think about it during the break.
Okay.
All right.
You don't think Rick we're going to get barbecue it. Smoking. I know you're not going to get it. What do you want to bet?
Will you tell us was it Channel 17, WWF, NWA?
Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Smoky Mountain.
R.I.P. New Jack.
Yeah.
It was a regional / southern wrestling promotion.
Jerry Lawler.
No.
I'm close, we're dialing in.
I thought you might have.
You're kind of close.
Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, wow.
No. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Back here on Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell Bear and Rick. Hanging out with you, Monday afternoon edition of the show, taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200. Greatest wrestling heel of all time. It's a good topic.
So who was yours?
That's pretty good.
You set it up at the end of the last segment.
So Bear guessed it. Several people on Twitter have guessed it since the Jerry Lawler hesitation.
Yeah.
Cool.
Andy Kaufman is the greatest wrestling heel of all time, and there's not a close second.
After thinking about it, I kind of have to agree with you. He's kind of unorthodox because he was only in it for just a brief period, but
he got it. He got the essence of professional wrestling, and that's why he went and did it, man.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
There's a
that
great
deal with the prods.
There's a great documentary. I was telling Rick about it called "I'm from Hollywood," and it's like an hour and a half long, but it's all about Andy Kaufman going to wrestle in Memphis in I want to say the early '80s. And he called himself the intergender champion. He went in and he said, I'm going to give $100 to any woman that could pin me. And these big old Memphis broads would come up in there and they're really trying to pin him. And it was real wrestling. It was real wrestling. And
he was fighting them.
He would win. And every now and then there were a couple that would give him a run for his money. And eventually Jerry Lawler started coaching him up, and he got into the feud with Jerry Lawler, culminating in the legendary David Letterman show appearance where he cursed him out on live television. And
Jerry Lawler slapped the fire out of him, for real.
Oh, it was one of the great – I mean, he had people so worked up, so enraged, so just
– I love him.
Out of their minds, angry. It was the best, man. He'd stand up there and say, "I'll sue all of you. I'm from Hollywood. You don't touch me. You got that
pointing.
Buster.
The point.
You hicks. You dumb hicks. I'll sue you. I'll sue all of you."
His attire, too.
Oh,
oh my
a ridiculous
goodness.
Suit.
Like the Long John look and the tight
is,
short
is that
shorts?
The one where he's come back after he's been slapped and now he's got a neck brace on?
Well, yeah. Every now and then, Lawler would get a hold of him and pile drive him or yeah. suplex him. And he'd show up. They'd have to cart him out of there on a stretcher. And he'd show up a couple nights later with a
Letterman.
Neck brace and an eye all swole up. And
in the Letterman interview, he's wearing a neck brace. Yeah. That's it adds to it. That's wrestling.
So dumb,
he
man.
Slings water on him out of the mug at some point.
There's a picture of him, if you look on Google Images, of him wearing a T-shirt that just says, "Women's Wrestling Champion of the World."
He'd hire his goons to go in. He said, $1,000 for anybody who puts Jerry Lawler in the hospital. And then these goons would come out of nowhere and attack Lawler. And one time they got him and they put Lawler in a full Nelson. And Andy Kaufman comes up and starts slapping him. And they're like, "Oh, the indignity. Oh, I can't believe it. The indignity of it all." And he'd get up on those interviews and start just acting like a total child. I'm the king from Memphis, Tennessee. I knocked that Lawler out. I'll knock him out again.
Yeah, that was a tragic loss. Would have really been interesting to see what directions and what stuff that guy would have done.
So you don't buy that conspiracy theory?
No.
That Andy Kaufman faked his death?
I don't know. There's some weight to it.
GP3's ready.
If you dive in, oh.
He died of like acute leukemia, didn't he? Or brain. He died of really bad form of cancer.
Well, but he also said,
yeah, he said that
during his life that he would fake his death and then come back many years later. Of course, it's been what, 30 years?
35.
His like sister-in-law or something wrote a book saying that he's still alive.
Remember that character he played, the lounge singer?
Tony Clifton. Ugh, another great heel.
That guy was freaky talented.
Oh, he was.
So,
according to the Hollywood Reporter in 2013, and maybe this has been debunked since then, Andy Kaufman's brother says that the comedian is still alive, in love, and has a daughter.
I feel like that's just that's just him, man. Yeah. The people playing along, knowing that he would have loved it.
Yeah. No.
Either that or it's real.
Could be. I think more than likely, because there were pictures of him. You can't fake looking as bad as he looked.
I don't think. Yeah, I think he died.
Yeah.
I think he's dead.
So,
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Well, you say, Debbie?
Philly!
How are you bearing Fabulous?
Pretty good.
Doing well, thanks.
Were you a fan of Andy Kaufman back in those days, Phil, when he was doing the wrestling thing?
No. I care less about wrestling.
Well, Phil likes real sports.
Sorry we brought it up.
All right, let's get to your call.
It's been kind of cool today. I thought we won 2 out of 3 the way I've been hearing radio all day long.
Phil's ready to remind us all what really happened. Are you going to rain on the parade, Phil? Are you going to call the Kevin Cops, as it were, on our party this afternoon?
No, but I'll say this. If Rick Barnes lost 2 out of 3, the phone lines would be lit up right now and people would be wanting him fired.
Okay, so brings up a fair point. At what point do we start treating Vitello the way we treat Barnes and whoever our football coach is?
Next week, South Carolina.
If he loses to South Carolina, you're going to be upset?
Depending on how we lose, I think there's a chance I could be.
So, by the way, South Carolina entered the top 25 last week, and they've moved up to number 21 in the country after a 3-1 week last week. So they're playing pretty good ball right now.
I talked about this a little bit when Russ wasn't here on Friday, but baseball is not like other sports if you lose, it's not as damning to your season as it is in basketball. I mean, we lost two games this weekend, and we stayed at number four in the country.
That's right, but we probably are not going to win the SEC regular season championship now. The only way we're going to win it is to win out and
well, who does Arkansas
have? Two out of three.
Yeah,
they play Florida. If Florida gets a sweep, not even a sweep, but they take two, and we sweep South Carolina, I think that puts us
A game up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It's not likely, but not impossible either.
Well, Missouri taking like two from Mississippi
Fabulous
State wasn't likely either.
Mm-hmm.
I told Fabulous this morning, I thought Vanderbilt's better than Arkansas, even though Arkansas's got a better record in the SEC. Just the looks of, I mean, Arkansas.
They have those two dominant pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, you got two pitchers like that. That's. But then Arkansas has Copps. I think it's very close.
Vanderbilt's got more major leaguers.
I think it's really tough because you are talking about two sides of the pitching rotation that are so dominant. I mean, Tennessee took one of Vanderbilt's two pitchers and had a pretty good day against him and then never put together a good showing versus Kevin Copps throughout the weekend. But then, again, you have smaller outings at a time with Copps, but then you can see him multiple times. I think I'm more scared of seeing Copps multiple times throughout the series, again, knowing that maybe Tennessee might be able to hit Jack Leiter again or maybe can catch Rocker on a bad day.
Well, it's very few and far between.
Vanderbilt's got two aces, and Vanderbilt's won championship. Has Arkansas ever won a national championship?
No.
I think they just got runner-up a couple of years ago.
So
they had that situation where they had it down to the last out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were playing – was it Vanderbilt they were playing?
Yes.
And there was a pop fly in foul territory that is a pretty routine play. They had three guys converge, and they just botched it and ended up losing the game.
So y'all figured out what the Vitello was arguing with Arkansas Cup Van Horn about?
Not really. I mean, there's some rumors, but I don't know if anything's been confirmed.
Hmm. Well, I heard Blue Kane had a good tournament up in Gatlinburg this weekend. Changed the subject a little bit.
I heard not as good as the game that B.J. Edwards had over at Catholic on Saturday.
Yeah, B.J. looked pretty good Thursday night.
Who were – so I saw the scenes on social media from over at the Butch Bowl, the indoor Butch Bowl over there.
Was
filled to the rafters. Who were they playing? It was Bobby Mays' AAU team against – who were they playing, Mickey, Phil?
It's Mickey Williams, the number three point guard – I mean, number three player in America for 2023.
Yeah, Mikey Williams.
And B.J. just torched him?
He just torched him. He's torched he got the best of Kennedy Chandler. He got the best of Jaden Springer. And the guy's ranked 80th in America. I don't understand what kind of ranking system, what these people are watching.
Well, the problem is that there's not a whole lot to watch. It's not – Knoxville High School basketball probably isn't covered as well as it should be considering the level of prospects we've got. The big thing with BJ this weekend, like he shuts people down. I think one of his most underrated aspects is his defensive play. And that's Mikey Williams kid. I mean, he ripped a 77-point night before.
Supposedly, BJ is going to visit Tennessee the first week of June. That's what I saw on my phone a little while ago.
Be nice to go ahead and get him locked up and then you've got your point guard and replacement for Kennedy Chandler eventually and – you know, maybe that brings in the kid from Cane Ridge, Brandon Miller. Maybe that helps you there. And the dude from Dallas that they're bringing in on a visit with him. I mean, Tennessee's talent pool all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett Barnes has not been lazy on the recruit trail now. It's funny how all of a sudden it's I also think they upgraded their staff on recruiting. They're more aggressive. Look at all the people they've offered since these new guys got involved in recruiting.
I'll give Barnes this. He's not afraid to reinvent himself. He's not afraid to try something different when it comes to that staff makeup. I know that some people will say that he's stubborn as far as style of play and stuff, but
if he would just do that, man. I really think he could turn a corner.
He's brought in a couple of young dudes now, and it's going to be interesting. It's him and Schwartz, and then the guy from Austin Peay and the dude from Marquette.
Ron Clark. I think he's been great so far.
Yeah, and that guy is not very experienced either. I mean, Rick Barnes took a chance on him, but he's got those grassroots basketball ties, and was at Sunrise and knows all the AAU scene and all those folks, and it's interesting that he would go that way.
I do like his commitment they got in football. I mean, Tennessee's going to have to develop talent until we get good enough to be able to go back and recruit like the old days, because it's going to be 4 or 5 years before we can get back to that point. People got to realize that.
Well, and again,
get lucky.
Hey, to go back to Barnes, I mean, that was the criticism of him the first 2 years. Are you taking all these 3-stars? And he said, well, look, I want to get a bunch of 4-year guys in here to develop my program and change the culture. And he was able to do that.
Yeah,
and
but
now that he's done it, though, he's bringing in the elite players left and right.
Yeah, but do that in football. You got to have an elite, and I mean elite level coaching staff. That's finally what turned the corner. Nobody ever talks about with Coach Majors when he started building football up into the powerhouse that it became. Was that staff he had in the early '80s that he put together was unreal, and they were able to develop the talent that we had here, and they maximized it. And then some people call it lucky, the '85 year, and that kind of springboarded us on up to the next tier.
Well, the Johnny Majors coaching tree is, it's on par with anybody. And I guess it goes all the way back to, it's got a little twins towards Nealon and Bobby Dodd, the Johnny Majors coaching tree. So I guess we'll never see nothing like that at Tennessee again.
And didn't he had a connection somehow on his staff with, like, Don Coryell, didn't he? Was that when we started really airing it out? Was that what was Walt Harris connection?
One of those assistants did have a tie to Eric Correll somehow.
Interesting, looking at this current staff, and in terms of player development, I actually like the defensive side. It's interesting because I think the three position coaches there, Garner, Gene Mary, and Martinez, very accomplished, have had many
serious
big
upgrade
time,
over what we had.
Yeah, big Power 5 conference jobs. Now, the coordinator is a little bit untested, unproven, and a gamble, in my opinion. But the three position coaches are, I mean, those resumes are solid.
Yeah.
The offensive side is it's a little more of a gamble. You know, some of these guys haven't been not extensive experience at this level, been at smaller schools, not a lot of experience in the Southeast. And we're putting a lot of faith in Heupel, and I expect him to put together a pretty good offense, but you're absolutely right. You got to be able to develop players if you're going to go the 3-star, change the culture, build them up with 4-year player route.
Yeah, and as Willie would say, if it weren't for Rodney Gardner, Tennessee would not have a national championship under Fulmer. See?
Got to have players.
You do.
Got to have players. But I'm not even worried about national championship. Is so far,
we just need to get back to respectability.
Yeah. And Tony Vitello had to do this too. This is his fourth year, mm-hmm. And the first 2 years they weren't particularly great. Or the first year they weren't particularly great. I guess they did go to the tournament, NCAA tournament, their second year. Last year was what it was, and this year they're right there. And it's interesting the parallels between SEC baseball and SEC football. We're nowhere close to that top 4 level in football. But we've shown this year that, okay, we're not at Arkansas and Vanderbilt's level just yet. We're not, but we are a whisker away. I mean, that gap is minuscule compared to the chasm that is between us and the upper echelons in football.
We rank in the top 5 in certain statistical categories.
Yeah, and even
we hit a ton of home runs.
And even added in, it's not like, both of those teams or even one of those teams just took you out behind the shed and dominated. But, I mean, Tennessee got a nice win against both of them. I think Tennessee proved that, hey, even though we might not be here as a full-time status yet, don't think that we aren't dangerous at any given moment. because this is a team that knows how to win and can be electric enough for nine innings to get a win in any moment.
Mm. I think we're closer to Arkansas than we are Vanderbilt this year, at least. Most of it because I feel like Vanderbilt, like you said, they've got two aces. Arkansas's got one, the Cobb kid.
I don't know. They're number one.
Yeah.
So until somebody beats them, I guess you got to give them the edge. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. If you want to jump in this afternoon, couple lines available. Coming up, one of the most just unbelievably cruel pranks you can possibly imagine was perpetrated against an athlete who played his college ball right here in the Volunteer State. We'll tell you about that coming up. Plus, the truth is out there. A lot of alien and UFO talk out there. We'll let you know what they're saying.
We are not alone.
Well, this is usually, I'm highly skeptical. I'm a big skeptic, but I don't dismiss anything out of hand either. And what we saw in 60 Minutes last night, I watched it. It was compelling. I must say it was compelling. We'll talk about that when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive. 865-546-8200, 546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show. We are taking your phone calls on this glorious, beautiful Monday afternoon edition of the show. Yeah, really, there's some sick people out there, you know?
Yeah. You just now realizing that?
There are some sick people out there, and man, This kid, Juwan Terrius Bryant is his name, former Austin Peay defensive back. And he thought that he was heading to Georgia this weekend to try out for the Atlanta Falcons during the team's rookie minicamp.
Huh.
When he arrived in Flowery Branch, though, he learned that he had been the victim of an elaborate hoax instead. He's a defensive back from Austin Peay. He was never actually contacted by the Falcons, but instead by someone texting him from an Atlanta area code pretending to be defensive coordinator Dean Pease. So when Bryant arrived at the team's facility Wednesday to get ready for his chance to accomplish an NFL dream, they're like, who are you and why are you here? He's like, I'm here for the tryout. I've been texting with Coach Pease. I mean, this poor kid has been since
catfished.
The draft. Man. Yeah, since the draft, he's probably been working out. I mean, this is his chance. He is ready. And you know how much this means to these players. This guy went to Austin Peay, right? And he's got a chance to try out for the Atlanta Falcons.
You know, he told everybody.
Do what?
You know, he told all his friends.
Oh, I hope they get a hold of whoever this guy was and put him in a room with this player and just let him go at it. Let him have 5 minutes alone in a locked room with this guy.
I'd rather be a steel pit where he couldn't get out.
What if it was all made up? Playing devil's advocate here.
Ooh, I did think about that when he was telling me.
What if he had a friend who lived in Georgia text him so he could?
Boy, you are jaded for a young one. That's pretty far out there.
If that happened, that's pretty twisted.
The only reason I think that is because when he was interviewed, and he said, I don't want who did this to come out. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Whoever did this, I hope you're sorry, but I don't want him publicly shamed. So he's asking for them not to investigate who.
It's interesting, you know, because my next line of thinking is, if you're the Falcons, why not just call him back and say, hey, we'll go ahead and give you that tryout. Yeah,
right.
Come on down and we'll let you run. We'll let you jump. We'll let you work out, run some drills and stuff like that. And who knows? Maybe we'll sign you to a rookie contract, let you come into camp, and not making any promises, but we want to give you that tryout. I think that would be a class move and good for the young man. But Man, it's just sad that we live in a day and age where you have to question people like that. And I see where you're going, GP3. If he did that, then obviously he doesn't deserve the tryout.
I mean, I think he does still. It's brilliant.
Because the initiative that he deserves it. Okay, maybe he does. But, I mean, who do you think, if the story is legit, who do you think it was? Because it's somebody that had his phone number.
Maybe somebody on the football team at Austin Peay who didn't like him.
An enemy that he made.
Yeah. Hell, I'll go ahead and say it. I bet there's a woman somewhere buried in this wood pile of a story, I bet. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. That's all I'm saying.
Bear's always got to play the sexism angle. That's just disgusting, Bear. What's about it with you and women?
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
Yeah, so there's that out there. Hopefully we get to the bottom of that particular pile, whatever's in there, because the public deserves to know.
Man, it says here Atlanta also had 5 players try out for the team this weekend, although that was the maximum that the team could have. Like, it was kind of legitimate timing in the sense that they were actually working out players. So even if you maybe did a little bit of research and figured out that maybe some other guys were headed there too, again, that really just stinks. I think playing it as, you know, taking the story for what it's worth, that is heartbreaking. That stinks. You wish the kid nothing but the best from there on out. But, hey, he's taken it in a pretty good way, and hopefully he uses it as a little bit of motivation. And the next time he walks up to an NFL camp, hey, people know who he is, right?
He'll also never trust a text or phone call from an anonymous number.
Never.
Ever again. Meanwhile, this week on 60 Minutes, I'll give it to 60 Minutes, man. Of all the world of media is changing. It's a different world out there. You don't watch TV like you used to. 60 Minutes is hanging on. 60 Minutes is still relative. I saw everybody talking about this, so I went, and credit to them because they put it up on YouTube. I watched it in double speed. It was a 20-minute package. I watched it in like 10 minutes, and it held my attention. It was pretty cool. But correspondent Bill Whitaker reporting.
What do you mean you watched it double speed?
You go to YouTube, you click on settings,
right.
Go to double speed, and you can watch videos. Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
That's how I listen to podcasts. I put it on 1.5.
Oh, so. Yeah. You guys are like, would not surprise me if you had like serious personality disorders, like disassociative type stuff. Really what? Scary stuff. That to me is psychotic.
We have psychotic tendencies.
Yeah,
you're worried about us because of the way we listen to podcasts. You think that we're strange.
Yeah, I think
that's indicative of some underlying
mental
issue.
The weirdest damn thing I've ever heard, yeah. That you would sit and listen to something at double speed.
I think you're just old and slow.
You can get through more
content.
I will
whip your ass!
Oh, yeah. I've got mental issues, though. You threaten me on the air.
What a threat? It's a statement of fact.
Correspondent reporting on... They don't call it UFOs anymore. They're UAPs.
The hell does that stand for?
Unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah, I'll still call them UFOs. Unidentified flying objects.
So UFO. They had these interviews with these two former Navy pilots, and these are not strike me. And again, you question everything this day and age, but these did not strike me as the types that are out for publicity or trying to push an agenda. One of them was a female pilot who. They saw this stuff in 2004, I think. They had this sighting 17 years ago.
Was that the triangular one?
And she hasn't – I couldn't make out shapes, but she said she didn't want to speak on it. But for some reason, they convinced her 60 Minutes was able to get her on tape and interview her and the other guy. And so these two, they're in one of these F-18s, and they're out there flying around, and they see this thing in the water. It's making a big ripple effect in the water. And all of a sudden, it just shoots up in the sky right in front of them. And
can you see that on the gun camera film?
No. The footage of these objects is all very blurry to me. I didn't understand what I was seeing. But
I mean, you think we could put a high-def camera on these planes.
You would think.
But go ahead.
They're very convincing in their argument, man. They said saw it with their eyes, and then it disappeared. They said it came up right in front of them, and they're sitting there looking at this thing like, are you seeing this? Yeah, I'm seeing this. Are you seeing it? Yeah. And then they said it just disappeared.
See, like, here's
gone.
Here's the issue. You're talking about two people that have undergone how many thousands of hours of training, mm-hmm. psychological testing for mm-hmm. fitness for duty, millions of dollars of investment from the United States government. These are about as reliable of people as you could get. Hyper-educated. They have no reason to make this stuff up.
Well, apparently they had a special task force studying this at the Pentagon.
Of course they did.
That spanned.
Because they've known, Russell!
Hold on. Calm down. Calm down.
They're real, dude.
We're on the radio. Calm down. They had that spanned both the Clinton and the first Bush administration. They're both Democrat and Republican looking at this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not saying what it is. They're saying it's unidentified.
Well, they just need to come out and level with us at this point.
I think they are.
We all know what happened over there in Roswell.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
What? Okay, what happened? I'll play along. What happened, Bear?
A non-terrestrial spacecraft crashed, and there were humanoid-looking bodies inside of aliens.
Where'd you hear this?
It's out there. Lots of people.
It's out. No, that's not. That's insufficient. Where'd you hear this, Bear?
I can't remember the first time I heard it, Russ. Hold on.
You can't come on here and say aliens exist and they found humanoids in a spacecraft. So I heard it somewhere.
I mean, you're going to act like everybody doesn't know the story about Roswell. When's the first time you heard
it? But it usually comes back.
Where'd you hear it?
Like on sightings on Fox or something. Some crackpot. What's that show that used to be on Overnight's Radio with Alan Bell?
God, I love that show.
I love that show, too. It's really good.
They had great voices.
But it not reliable stuff.
Well, I mean, it's referred to as the Roswell incident. Can we at least get that part right? It was a July 1947 crash of a extraterrestrial space vehicle and supposedly one of them was still alive when they took them off to Hangar 18, which I think is somewhere on that Wright Air Force Base up in Ohio.
No way.
And they took the spacecraft itself or the interdimensional vehicle to Area 51.
Wait a minute. We got a communication here from friend of the program, Houston Kress, a.k.a. the Vol Rumor Mill. He says Bear is right now he doesn't remember anything. He's simply describing the plot to Independence Day with Will Smith.
No, that's not true.
You're just remembering a movie you saw 20 years ago, you dullard.
No. They took the bodies went to Hangar 18.
And then the mad scientist, they used his voice as a voice box to talk to him.
No,
and then Bill
because
Pullman,
they took the vehicle to Area 51.
Bill Pullman or Paxton, I always get them mixed up. Pullman, right?
See, in your all's movie, they all go to the same place. They don't. I'm telling you. The bodies went up to Ohio.
You're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay. They went to Ohio.
Right Air Force Base.
Yeah. Oh, Wright Air Force Base.
Hey,
okay.
You know, I've
it's where all high speed – it was a top secret facility because of all the high speed testing.
You heard about Bob Lazar. I mean, everybody's seen the Bob Lazar Joe Rogan interview, right? No? I'm the only one? Oh, no. Man, you got to go watch it. Guy's really convincing.
Don't like Joe Rogan.
He's really freaking convincing.
I don't need to be convinced. I've seen stuff twice. Whoa. Two separate occasions.
No.
So, yes.
What?
Look. You have an anecdotal UFO story?
Yes.
Were you on any kind of psychotropic or hallucinogenic substances at the time?
No. Hold on, GP3, because we got to go to break. And you've got the top five at five to do. You've got real sports journalism to practice, and then we'll let you tell your goofy UFO story.
Does this
okay?
not scare everybody? You guys are talking about this awfully casually.
Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way.